Hello.
Hi, is that Angela?
Yes, I'm speaking.
Hi, Angela. It's Leah calling from MMA Legal to do your witness statement.
Yeah, it's fine.
Is now still a good time for
you?
Yeah,
it's fine.
Perfect. Yeah. So before we start, I do have to let you know the call is recorded for training and monitoring purposes.
Okay.
And for the purpose of data protection, could you please confirm your date of birth and your postcode for me?
22/5/1967 and it's EH22 2EY.
Okay, perfect. So obviously this call is for your witness statement, so it can be you can find it a bit difficult, but I want you to know that if you're in control of the call, so if you need to go and take 5 minutes or you want to pause and restart, you can.
Okay.
So I've got full name as Angela Cross. Is there any middle name? So is that just the
Isabella.
Full name?
No,
Isabella.
Angela Isabella Cross.
I've got your date of birth, 22nd of May, 1967. I've got an address of 44 Woodburn Bank, Dalkeith.
Yes, that's right.
EH22 2EY.
Yes.
It is the 31st of July and the call is at 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So yeah, are you comfortable and happy to continue with the call today?
Yes.
And do you need anyone with you or any other adjustments during this call?
No.
And do you understand the purpose of the statement we're doing and agree that it can be used for your Scottish redress application?
Yes.
Perfect. So I'm going to start with a bit about where you know, a bit about your childhood before care and your entry into care. So, like I say, it is going to be a little bit of a questionnaire almost, but it just helps make sure I've got everything.
Yes.
So, where did you grow up and who did you live with before care?
I lived with my granny, but I went to stay with my mum the night before I got put into care, and that was at Ferry Road in Inverness. Keswick Ferry. I think it was 73. I'm not sure if it was 73. It's all that long ago.
No, that's all right. Don't worry. And you lived with your grandmother before?
Yeah. I lived with my granny, but I went down to play with my two brothers that night when the door went in.
If I do take any breaks, it's just me typing up if I go mute. What was home life like for you before you went into care? So is there any, you know, to do with your family, anything to do with your health, your education, anything that's relevant?
I had a good lifestyle with my granny. My granny was called Flora McDonald. I had a good lifestyle. I went to school every day, daily. I went with my granny to her work, and like it was just me and my granny. I was brought up with my granny mostly. But my granny had, well, I'm led to believe that she had health issues, because my granny tried to apply to get me back and let me go back to my granny, but I was living with her. And I had a double bed, and like I had a dog, and I lived with my Uncle John as well. My granny had a two bedroom house. I lived in a double bed, my granny lived in a single bed. And my Uncle John lived in the other bedroom.
Yeah. Okay, no problem.
But it was a great lifestyle. I had a good time. I lived with my granny. It was home cooking and things like that. She educated me a lot.
Oh, bless you. Nothing like a grandma's food.
Yes, yeah.
So how was it that you came to enter into care? So do you know who it was who made the decision?
Basically, when I went in, the police came to my mum's house. I was sleeping with my two brothers in a bedroom upstairs. And I got woken up. My brother Angus was sleeping in the same bed as me because he was my youngest brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert was in the other bed. Obviously, my brother Angus had problems. He used to be at the bed and things like that. But I just remember the police picking us up and telling us to get dressed. They had to dress the two dresses because, like, my brother had actually waited for us here. So we got dressed. And the next thing I remember, I was in a big homey, a big housey. And then a doctor came and examined me, and I had lots of bruises and cuts on my body.
Yeah.
And I stayed in Rosedene Children's Home. That was in Inverness.
Yeah.
And I lived there. My brothers got taken away. They got put into foster care, and I got kept in that home. I'm led to believe my granny tried to get me back, but didn't give her up because my granny was diabetic and she had heart problems.
Yeah, okay.
So that was the reason why I didn't go back out of the home. So I stayed there.
Were you ever told why you were taken into care?
No, I didn't. It was just police say. I didn't even know where my mum was. None of us knew where my mum was. We didn't know nothing what had happened to my mum or anything at that time. Police didn't tell us. The home didn't tell me. So, I didn't get told anything. I just assumed, well, we didn't know. It was just quite frightening for us because there was lots of people in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine.
Yeah.
And did you say your brothers were called Angus and Robert? Is
Robert,
that correct?
Yeah. Robert's 2 years younger than me, and Angus was the youngest. My brother Angus was the youngest.
And were they kept together when they were separated from you?
Yes, they were kept together.
Can you remember how old you were when you first entered into care?
I think it was 10, 11. I was in high school. I was in primary school.
No problem. And how did you feel at the time, if you can remember at all?
I was quite frightened because it was a big room, and I got put in another room with a couple other girls in the room, so I was really very frightened. I had no clothes. I had to get bathed, and people were watching me, and I was getting bathed, and it was quite frightening because I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything important that you can think of about your childhood health, any learning needs, vulnerability, or any history that you feel should be recorded for Scottish Redress to see?
The only thing that's happened to me is obviously I had got my operation, and I had ear operation. I had hearing aid, and I had to put glasses because I had a squint eye. So I had to get a lot of attention for it too. Basically, obviously, when I was a young girl, my adopted dad, I got knocked down with a bus when I was 6 years old, and my head was severely hit by a bus, an army bus in Singapore. So I was in hospital for quite a long time.
Okay. So what I've done is I've built a bit of a chronology of care for you, based on any of the records that we received. So a lot of them, it was under Highland Council?
Yes, it was Highland Council for Inverness, yeah.
Yeah, so I've got on here that you not necessarily entered into the care system, but you were known with the care system when you were about two.
Right, yeah, it would have been... I don't know what it was, because obviously he's not my daddy, so I don't know I don't know what happened to him when I was two, if I was in care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The next place I've got is Rosedene.
That's Rosedene Children's Home, yeah. That's home. That was the place that they took me from when they took me to the house. Yeah.
I've got you in there from 1979 to about 1981. Does that sound about right to you?
Yeah, we'll be right about right.
Yeah.
Just always in first year. Yeah.
We have got records that confirm that as well.
Yeah.
There was Hawthornbury Children's Home.
Yeah, Hawthornbury, that's at Duddeston. That's at Duddeston. I was in Keno Lodge first before Hawthornbury. Canine Lodge was an assessment centre. They had to put me in there because they had nowhere else to put me. But that was because my dad, I kept on, my adopted dad, was abusing me. To get the picture is, the court ordered my dad, my mum and dad were having a court battle against the custody, and the judge didn't want my brothers to be split up by me. But I was already in a home. My brothers were with my mum. I wasn't living with my mum, and I didn't know I was adopted. I went to school and it was all over the papers. Nobody told me about it, but people in the school. I went back that day, which was really quite traumatising for me, mm-hmm. because like I'm 11-year-old, I'm in first year, and everybody's laughing and joking. I ended up fighting with people because they were being nasty about my mum and dad. And like I thought it was my dad. I had no knowledge it wasn't my dad. So when I went back, I was obviously upset, really upset. The school asked for the staff to come and get me, and I went home. And all I can remember is two judges coming to the house, and I went into the matron's room, and they sat me down and explained that I was adopted,
mm-hmm.
and they wanted me to go back and stay with my dad because my dad wanted me. That was not what was said in the papers. My dad didn't want me. He only wanted my two brothers. But the judge decided to make the decision. He didn't want to beat me up with my brothers.
Mm.
But I wasn't living with my brothers for years. And so because my dad was in the army, just coming out of the army to get my two brothers because they were his boys, so the judge decided that they asked me to go and stay with them, eh?
Yeah.
And, well, unknowingly, I was like thinking, well, I'm going to be with my brothers, eh? I thought it was, well, this was going to be good, me getting to see my two brothers because I didn't get to see them. I didn't get to see them when I was in the home or anything like that, eh? And I just had missing my brothers, eh? So I went with my dad to Craigmillar, Embra. He still lived in Craigmillar Castle alone.
Yeah.
But my dad was abusing me. He started assaulting me, and I was waking up with black eyes and things like that. So I kept running away, and I ended up in an assessment centre, and I stayed there for a year till they found a placement for me.
Mm-hmm.
What annoyed me was the fact is he didn't even want me, and nobody even thought about even checking up on me. Nobody even came to see if I was okay or anything like that. So I ended up, no social worker or anything to check and see how I was. I ended up in Canine Lodge Assessment Centre, and that was another room I had to share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a placement on the Hawthorne Brae, that's at Duddenstan, and I lived there till I was 16 and a half.
Yeah, because I have on here, it was Hawthorne Brae in 1982. But it was on and off with Hawthorne Brae by the looks of it. Does that sound about right?
No, I think I went back. No, I was always there. I was always there. I was always there. I never left. I went back. I lived there all the time, eh?
I've got that you were fostered at one point.
Yeah, I was fostered. I was fostered in Inverness. I was fostered quite a few times in Inverness. Never fostered in Embra, but I was fostered in Inverness.
Yeah, then, for some reason I've got it on here. It was Hawthorne Brae in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Until you were fostered in 1983.
I was fostered when I was in Rosedean. When Rosedean, they put me into foster care thinking that, well, they obviously wanted me to be around family people, but the kids were really quite horrible to me.
Yeah.
And like I was like having to ask to play with their toys, and it just wasn't working for me. Then they put me back into Rosedean Children's Home because it wasn't working, because it was just basically, it was too upsetting for me.
Yeah. Okay, that's okay. I have that at some point you were actually demitted, so you were taken out of the care system and went to live with your father and stepmother.
That's my adopted dad. It's not my father.
Right,
I've never met my dad. It's my adopted dad.
No problem. I'm going to just add into that.
That's my adopted dad that wanted custody of my two brothers, not me.
Yeah.
And it was stated in the papers as well. It was in the papers as
Wow.
well as like everybody knew about it but me. And then I got told that they didn't want me, but he was supposed to take me. The judge said in the papers he didn't take me, he wasn't getting his two boys. So basically they forced him to take somebody that didn't even want.
Yeah. Because I've only got in here that you were with him for a number of weeks before you returned
yeah,
back to Hawthorne, right?
Yeah, no, it wasn't Hawthorne. I only stayed with him. I got put into Cane and Lodge just to stay for over the year. And then I ended up going into Hawthorne Bray. They found a placement in Hawthorne Bray, and I went there.
Okay.
So I was in Cane and Lodge first before I went to Hawthorne Bray.
Yeah, no problem. I have popped that down.
But the first in Cane was in Inverness. It was never in Edinburgh. It was in Inverness all the time. I was in there quite a few times.
Okay, no problem. And I have also got that when you left care, you were given temporary accommodation. So would that have been something like a flat?
No, it was a hostel. Stopover hostel. I had no anybody helping me whatsoever.
Okay, I'll pop that down just so I've definitely got that as well. Yeah, so I've got that was about January of 84. So you were 16 then?
Yeah, I was 16, yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to do now is for each of the care institutes that you were in, I'm going to ask a series of questions.
Yeah.
I know it can be difficult because something might have happened in one and has happened in the other, but we just need to make sure each one is kind of separate. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
So the first one I'm going to do is the Cane, I'm so sorry. Cane and Lodge.
Yeah, in Cane Lodge, yes. That's at Cane Lodge at Morningside.
Okay. So you said you were there for around about a year.
About a year. They couldn't find a placement for me. They were trying to find somewhere that was suitable for me. I wasn't there for bad behaviour. It was just that they had nowhere else to put me.
And it was an assessment centre, did you say?
Yeah, it was an assessment centre. So there was a lot of kids that were quite there for other reasons.
Oh, God, I can only imagine. Bless you.
Yeah. So, I was taken away from my whole family in Inverness. It didn't work to go to Edinburgh. I had not a soul here that I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to learn to grow up on my own,
Yeah. So, just in a quick little summary... What was the ordinary daily life like at the assessment centre, such as what was the accommodation
wasn't very suitable. I was in a room with other people, but boys could come into your room. Anybody could come into your room. You had no privacy whatsoever. There was no anybody keeping an eye on you or anything like that. So you were seeing lots of fights and things like that.
Okay. And what about food? Were you, was there the food that you were entitled, you could go for, or was it that maybe it wasn't?
You just got given what you were given, You didn't get a choice. Never got a choice of what to eat. You had to eat that or nothing.
And what about school?
I was still going to the same school at Creamall Castle Bray. I had to get a bus because I had to get two buses to get to my school. I never got anybody taking me or I had to be dependent and go myself, learn to go myself to school, but I was going through quite a lot of that.
Yeah,
I had to go past my dad's house because the school was just at the bottom of my dad's house and that's where my two brothers were. So it was quite distressing because I was not couldn't talk to them and was things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. What about things like clothing and hygiene?
Never got any. I never had any clothes. I just had the clothes that I had on my back.
So it was just the clothes that you entered care into?
Yeah.
And what about hygiene, things like that, with baths, showers?
We had to share. We had to share. We had to share bathing and things like that. And they were coming and checking you and things like that. So you didn't really have any privacy.
Were you given soap?
Yeah, yeah, we were given soap and things like that. Yeah, we was and a toothbrush and that. But like, they would be watching you if you were in the bath and things like that.
Yeah. And what about family contact? Did they allow any family contact?
I had nobody. Nobody came to me. Nobody at all.
And how did the staff there and the other children treat you?
The staff were fine, but they had to deal with a lot of quite violence, a lot of kids. So I was having to like, be very on guard. Sometimes I would just hide in my room because I was frightened of some of them because they were quite tough. I was just a wee child at the time.
Yeah.
These kids were really big and they were quite violent, picking up things and whacking the staff and things like that. So like, I was having to see a lot of violence.
And were there any rules, punishments, unsafe arrangements while in there?
No. We had to, like, obviously, like, you were kept in all the time, so I didn't go anywhere. Just went to school and back. That was it. I didn't have anywhere else to go. I didn't go to clubs or anything like that, or interact with any other kids or anything like that. It was just, I was in there.
Yeah. Okay, no problem. Did anything happen in that assessment centre that you now consider abuse, neglect or harmful?
No, I wouldn't say no. No.
Okay, no problem. Did you ever speak to anyone about what you witnessed while you were in that care home, such as the violence?
No. I had a social worker, but that was it. I didn't have anybody else.
Yeah.
Didn't have anybody else. But I've barely seen the social worker.
Okay. And what was different about the assessment centre to all the other placements?
I think it was just because it was the kids were very, a lot of them were very angry. I seen a lot of staff having to restrain them and things like that, and I'd have to stand at the road when they were flinging things and things like that.
Yeah, no problem at all. Is there anything else you'd like to tell me about this assessment centre before I move on?
No.
Okay.
Everyone's fine.
No problem. So I'm going to move on next to Rose Dean.
Right.
Are you okay for us to continue?
Yeah.
Just wanted to double check. Obviously, like I said, if you do need a break or you want to pause, you just let me know, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
And I have on here, you were in Rose Dean from I've got the 7th of June, 1979, to the 29th of June, 1981.
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Would it have been 84? 84, because I had my son, he was 17, I left at 16, and I fell pregnant when at 17, and my son's 85, so it would have been 84. I was in there in care till.
This one's just for Rose Dean.
Oh, this is for Rose Dean, sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you were meaning the Hawthorne Brief there.
No, that's all right, don't worry.
Yes, that's right.
So that was under Highland Council as well.
Yeah.
And this was, what type of setting was this? Was this just like a children's home?
Yeah, it was a children's home. When I went into the home, obviously, I can always remember when a woman gave us a glass of milk, hot sweet milk, and basically we could hear people talking, but we didn't know, and then they went in this cupboard and gave us clothes to put on, me and my brothers, but they were only there for a night and then they went away, so and then I was left there.
Okay, so your brothers were there for one night and then left.
Yeah, yeah. They got put in a foster care and I got kept in that home.
Okay, I'll pop that down. So just kind of the same questions again. So in a few sentences,
yes.
You know, what was ordinary daily life like there?
Ordinary daily life, we all had rooms, and we all had like the only we were like it's like say it was like Abercorn, so Abercorn there was like four different rooms, and there would be 10 of us in each room, and there'd be staff there, so like you'd go down there for your breakfast in the morning, and obviously then you'd get ready for to go to school. I'd have to get a bus to. Because I got moved out of the school that I was, and I had to go to another school with all the other kids that lived there. When I first went there, I was getting watched how to, like when I was bathing, basically I wasn't allowed to see my mum at all whatsoever. My granny got to come and see me at night time after her work. But she wasn't allowed to take me. I wasn't allowed to stay with her, I just didn't understand why they weren't allowed to stay with my granny, because I was living with my granny, and nobody had a problem with living with my granny.
Yeah.
So that was what was me stressing about, because I didn't want to go. I just wanted to go back to my granny.
Yeah, of course. It's all you knew, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you said
She brought me up. She went to get me when I was in London, and came back and I lived with my granny. And then when my mum married my adopted dad, that's obviously when I went to stay with my mum and my adopted dad. And then obviously my dad had two boys to her, eh? So the relationship was all about my brothers, and that one. But nobody asked me how about my dad to me. They just expected me to agree to go with him, eh? Which
yeah.
I did, because my two brothers were there. But it was quite distressing, because nobody would like. I understood why they didn't want me near my mum, because my mum was an alcoholic and she was very abusive towards me. And I was covered in bruises and cuts in my body. And obviously they knew this. My mum did this to me.
Yeah.
So I knew that. I knew that was the reason why I was getting. Staying away from my mum, because I didn't want to stay with my mum. I wanted to go back to my granny, because my mum was the one that my granny was trying to keep me away from. But my mum was just basically obviously wanting me to be a babysitter that night, and obviously I went there. My granny, she thought I was just going to spend time with my brother. She had no knowledge that my mum was going out to drink. She thought that I was there with my brothers and my mum. So she had no knowledge of this, eh? So, and my granny was obviously trying to get me back, eh? But she couldn't get me back because she had to go through a medical test and things like that, and she failed it because she had heart problems. She was diabetic.
Yeah. What was it like hygiene-wise? So getting bathed and things like
well,
that?
Well, when I went in there, I had nothing. I had to go and ask them for clothes, eh? They put me. It was like a laundry room hanging. We'd go on and they would like pull clothes out, and some of the clothes didn't fit me, but I had to put them on because I'd done nothing else. Eh? So we'd have to wear different clothes. And then, obviously, when I started staying with them, they must have got me a school grant to get me some school clothes to go to my new school. Eh?
Yeah.
So I got, but I didn't get to choose them. They chose them for me. Got them for me. Eh? So I didn't like wasn't like it was my style. It's what they gave me.
So what about food?
Food was it's what you got. You never got anything else. And there wasn't a choice. It was what you. If you didn't like it, you didn't get nothing else.
And just kind of the same as well, you know, like how did the staff and other children treat you? So was there any rules, punishments?
No, everything was fine there. Eh? That was my happy home, eh? Because I was in Inverness and it was near my family, like family that I was brought up with. So when I was in Inverness, that's where that's sort of the only thing I knew was Inverness. I didn't know anywhere else. Eh? And like I was going to school, I knew all my friends, I knew everybody, and then like my teacher would come up to see me from my primary school, and my granny would come up every night after her work to see me. Eh? So like, I felt safe because they knew me. Eh?
Yeah, because it was near everyone you knew.
Yeah, yeah, and I knew my mum was only just like 20 minutes from the home. Eh? So.
Yeah.
But like when they moved me to Embra, I don't know anybody.
Okay. And so I would typically ask, you know, what was different at this placement compared with the others, but I know you said that was like, it was like your happy home.
Yeah, it was my happy home because my granny came every night to see me. I got to see somebody that knew was my family, eh? So it was nice to see my granny. So they allowed it and the staff were happy to leave me with my granny unsupervised. I didn't get supervised with my granny, but if my mum came to see me, she had to be supervised.
Yeah.
She wasn't allowed to be in the room with me on her own. And obviously if she was being abusive or being drunk, she was asked to leave, eh?
Yeah.
So, the only instance I can remember is when obviously the court procedures happened, my mum came to the house and she was really drunk. And she was trying to tell me, and the staff got her, and the police took her away. The staff just grabbed me and put me into another room. They were obviously not trying to tell me what was going down, but obviously I knew because the school had told me. Some of the children in the school told me that my mum and dad were at court, and they had it was in the papers, eh, that my dad didn't want me.
Yeah.
So when he decided to come and see me with this other roommate that I had no knowledge of knowing. Her name was Sheila, and my adopted dad had a beard, and this is not the way I remembered my dad.
Yeah.
So when they came, I kept saying to the staff, that's not my dad, he doesn't look like my dad. So I was very confused, and then everybody was trying to reassure me that this was my dad, eh? And like, I was like, no, he's not my dad, he doesn't look like my dad, and
yeah.
He was having to tell me what my brother's names were, and was asking him questions, because he didn't even look like my daddy,
so
I think I was in shock, eh? Everything was just going so fast, because I had people tell me that he wasn't my dad, so when he was coming to sit with me, I was like, completely just not saying a word to him, eh?
Yeah.
The staff was saying, no, he's just come to see you, he's what to see you, and like, I'm like that, mom. Like unknown to them, they were telling me that I was adopted. Like, why would they want me to sit with somebody like didn't even want me?
Yeah.
What really annoyed me, and like I had to go with it. I didn't get the choice to say, do you want to go with them, or do you not want to go with them? Because they told me I was to go with them. I had no choice but
right.
to go with them. So I wasn't going to get to see my mum or my granny. And I kept saying, well, what about my granny? I'm not going to see my granny. Oh, yes, you will. But nobody let me see my granny. Never got to see anybody after I moved to Edinburgh.
Yeah.
I didn't even get a letter off my mum or nothing. No cards, no Christmas or no nothing.
Bless you. It's awful.
Yeah, that's distressing, because I felt like my mum was dead, but she was dead. They put her as she was dead to me, because like I didn't know what was happening about my mum, where my mum was, or where my granny was. Ken, I knew where my granny's house was, but I didn't know nothing about anything. Eh? So
yeah.
It was really quite. It was horrible for me, because I had nobody to Ken talk to. I couldn't trust nobody.
Yeah. And is that what you found during a lot of your time in the care system?
No,
that
I couldn't trust nobody.
Yeah.
Couldn't trust nobody.
Okay, I'll definitely pop that down on there. I'm going to move on to Hawthorne Bray.
Uh-huh.
Just because I need to get everything from that.
Yeah.
So that was a children's home as well, was it?
Yeah, that was a Church of Scotland home.
Oh, is it? Okay, I'll pop that in. And that one was about 4 years, but we said it was a bit on and off.
Yeah. What was the other?
Yeah. So again, with this new care setting, was the daily life that
lots had changed. I had to go to church. I had to pray. I had to pray at the table. I had to go to church. I had to go to a different school. I had no contact with my family whatsoever. The only person that came to see me and took me out was my adopted dad, granddad. My granddad, he got to take me out and take me to stay at his house, once a month. I think it was once a month he got to take me to stay with him in Glasgow. But I don't know how that worked out, but I could remember my granddad. It was like it was family to me. There was something else there for me.
And things like routines or...
Routines, I had to, I didn't like some of the routines because there was a blind boy there and they made me wash him and he was fully mature. I had to wash him every morning, take him into the shower. He was blind. He couldn't see me, but I could see him. And I would have to give him his soap and I'd have to show him how to wash things and that. And it wasn't very nice for me, but that was my chore. I had to do that.
Yeah.
I had no choice. I had to do that. But nobody, because the staff didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
So I would have to do it. And it was they put this care package onto me. His name was Robert. I can only remember his name. His name was Robert. And no reason I knew it was because my brother's name was Robert. So I just felt that it was... I won't say flashbacks of it because it's basically... It was not a very nice thing. I was just a wee girl at that time. I shouldn't have been seeing all that.
Yeah. And what about clothing-wise? Did you have fresh clothes in this play?
Yeah, I had... they obviously got me clothes. I got a clothing grant and I got clothes. That was a wee bit better for me because obviously I got a clothing grant once a month. So if you saved that up, you could go. But you didn't get a choice what you had to get. If I watched something, I wasn't allowed to get, designer things or anything like that. I just had to get basics, and the staff would be with me when I was buying it. So I didn't even get, to choose what I liked. It was like that or nothing.
And what about the food there? Was the food okay?
It was just, you got what they wanted. They had a certain day for different food, but it was only one meal you would get. When I became 15, they started giving me £15 a week to go and get to make my own tea. They wanted me to be independent, life skills. So we'd have to go to the shop and find dinners for the Monday to the Sunday. Obviously I'd get my breakfast with them, but I had to make my own tea. Nobody showed me how to cook and nobody showed me how to budget. I had to learn that myself.
And what about hygiene wise? I know you said you obviously had to clean.
They had toilet stuff there. So if you needed shampoo or you needed soap, you just asked the staff and the staff would give you it.
Yeah. And was it shared, baths, showers?
Yeah, everything was shared. Yeah. And it was opened. It was an open. I don't know if you can remember the old baths that used to be, you could look over people. So somebody could stand up in their bath and you could see the next child in the next bath.
Yeah.
That's what it was like.
Wow. And would the staff watch as well?
The staff would be there. Yeah. Because in case any of us would be fighting or kicking off.
Okay. How did the staff treat you while you were in Hawthorn Bray?
Some of the staff liked me and some of them didn't. They always blamed me for everything. Because I was quite argumentative, they would say that I was quite a feisty wee thing by arguing. I would always argue with them because I was always getting grounded all the time, constantly, for something that was me, it was another child. But because at that time I learned to not be a grass. I didn't want to fib on people because if you fibbed on people, then it didn't make you look good in that home and you could have a miserable time.
Yeah.
So I would take the punishment for other people.
And when you say punishment, what kind of punishment?
I wasn't allowed to go out. I wasn't allowed to go out. My friends came to come to the home to get asked to go out. I wasn't allowed out. That was my punishment. I wasn't allowed out. I didn't get my pocket money either. They would deduct my pocket money. So basically, that was my punishment. No pocket money, not getting out. And like basically, I wouldn't get my cheat. Like, you got a cheat once a week. I didn't get that either.
Okay.
Meaning cheat, like if you wanted to go to the pictures or something like that, I never got to go.
Yeah.
Because, like, that was my punishment.
And what about the other children who were there? How did they treat you?
Yeah, they were all right. They were all right. I was always, like, they always, the school, that home always thought I was the ringleader. But I wasn't. It was just I had a bit of an attitude. I'd answer them back. And they would tell me to get in the room, and I would say, no, I'm not going in the room. So then they'd end up putting me into an assessment centre. They put me in there a couple of times at Howden Hall because they said I was being destructive and they didn't want me there. But no, it was just because they were... I had lots of problems. I was, like, missing my family, and nobody was caring about what, when I was asking how I was going to get to see my family and things like that.
Yeah. Okay. Was there anything that happened there that you now would consider abuse, neglect or harm?
Well, yeah, because my adopted dad phoned him up and I had to go to Castle Bay School. Now, I had to walk past my dad's house. My dad phoned that staff and told the staff to tell me not to walk up that road, and I was not allowed to talk to my brothers. Now, they were my brothers. It's the only people I knew. So the staff had to sit down and say to me that I wasn't allowed to talk to my brothers again, and I wasn't allowed to go up that road. It was the only road I could go unless I was going to walk about 2 miles to get round to my school. And that would have, like, it was just highly impossible for me to do. So, yeah, the staff, I think they enjoyed telling me that I wasn't allowed to speak to my brothers, and, like, I was sitting crying because I was quite upset at that.
Yeah, of course.
But what got me is they were adults. They should have said, no, we're not going to say that to her, but they did.
And was there anything else that you would maybe consider was abuse from them?
No, nothing else. No, the only thing I just was just trauma about him. It was a child. It was an adult.
He was an adult.
He was an adult. Like, he was fully, like, he was fully mature down there, completely adult. Like, he was older than me, but he was fully mature down there. Like I was just a wee girl.
Yeah.
And I kept telling them I didn't like doing it, but they said there was nobody else to do it. That was my job. I felt like they were just trying to give me all the bad jobs to do, but I thought this should be a staff that should be doing this. Now that I'm an adult, I do believe it should have been a staff that did that job, not me.
Absolutely agree. It should have been an adult.
Yeah.
And what did you know, what would the staff say if you refused to do it? Was there a threat of punishment?
I would just get no pocket money. I would get no pocket money. I wouldn't get to go out. So they loved punishing me all the time. Like, every week I would always be getting no pocket money or getting no out, and I never would be going out, and I'd have to sit there, and it was just frustrating. It was very frustrating because sometimes it certainly wasn't me, but it was just so hard, because, like, it was the way you had to live, you had to be, you had to keep your mouth shut, because some of these kids were a lot older than me, so, like, they could have battered me, if I had said it was them.
Yeah. And how often did this occur with having to wash Robert? Was it a daily occurrence?
Every day. I would have to do it between the Monday to the Friday, because he went away at the weekend. I don't know if he went back to his mum at the weekend, his mum and dad, but I'd have to do it for the Monday to the Friday for him to get ready to go to the Blind Asylum School.
And was it just in the morning, or was it a night time?
Yeah,
as well?
It was in the morning. In the morning, I would have to do it first thing in the morning.
And would a staff member watch while you were doing it, or...?
No, they just leave me to it.
Just left you to it.
Leave me to it. And then when I was saying that, I was, that like I would have to tell him if he was hurt or anything like that. So I'd have to look at his body.
Yeah. And how often, I know it was every day, but was this for the full time you were there, or was it?
Yeah. It's the last year we were in LA, I was there when I was to school, high school, mm-hmm. Yeah. I was there, I mean, I've done it for quite a few years, yeah.
Okay. And it was daily, Monday to Friday.
Because they went away at the weekend to his parents. I think he went to his parents, but I know he wasn't there at the weekend. And I was mostly the only child that was there at the weekend because a lot of them went home to their family. And I didn't have anybody to go back to go to.
Did having to wash Robert every day, did that have any immediate effects, like, on
you? Because I didn't like the fact that he was all hairy and things like that, and it used to be the creeps, because it's... Like, it's not a thing you want to see, I feel a bit, like, it's different, I'm an adult now, but at the time, I didn't see all this, I wasn't sexual in any way, and, like, they put that sexuality onto me really quick at my age.
So it made you quite uncomfortable?
Very uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie about it, but it's very uncomfortable about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Did anyone witness, obviously, you having to wash him or know about it, experience something similar?
Well, everybody knew that, like, they used to all think it was funny because that was my job, that I would have to do it. So the kids were sort of laughing at me. I imagine you having to do that, you're having to do that. But, like, they would say I would get my pocket money and things like that. I never ever got my pocket money because they would always say that I was being lucky or being cheeky or answering them back.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. It was just like I just felt like they were, like, didn't care what I was thinking, eh?
Yeah.
If I said to them I didn't want to do it, well, if you don't do that, then you're not going to get out the night with your friends and you're not going to get to, you're not getting your pocket money.
Yeah. And that was the big threat, the pocket money.
Oh, well, yeah, it was a big threat to me, and it was a big threat that I started to learn to make friends, Well, and like I was, that's the only thing that kind of shut me off from my real life and my family. I had no family, but it was nice to see other people with family, with mums and dads, and I just used to dream about something that I never had,
Yeah.
But so when they stopped me from seeing people, real people. It did affect me a lot,
Absolutely. And you couldn't, were you able to ring your granny if you wanted to, or?
No.
And no access to a phone?
No. I never even got my granny got to phone me now and then, but she didn't have very much money. My granny was she was a cleaner, and she was very old fashioned. She wouldn't take any money for the state pensions or anything like that. So she would phone me on a Thursday, and it would be after 6 o'clock because it was something to do with the time, it was free to phone at that time. So she'd phone me one night a week. But they said it started saying it was upsetting me because I would be asking about my mum, I would be asking about my cousins. I mean, I didn't see anybody. So, like, that was the only life I knew, It was about Ken asking my granny how my mum was and how my uncles were and how my aunties were and my cousins were.
Yeah,
and my friends. I didn't like that. That was the only thing that I can remember.
Mm. And did they ever stop you from being able to call?
Yeah, if they said I was being argumentative and things like that, they used to say they saying it was upsetting me. It was upsetting me because I was getting no contact with anybody, and I was like, I didn't get a card or a letter or anything like that. And then when I did get to see my mum when I was pregnant, my mum says she was writing me, and I never received any letters or any cards or anything from anybody. So, like, I was led to believe my mum didn't even love me.
Yeah. And so were they hiding them, or was it just...
Somebody was hiding them. I think it was the social work department, because she would hand them into the social work department for my birthday and Christmas, and I never got anything. I never received anything. I didn't receive anything for any of my family whatsoever.
Okay. So what would you say was different about Hawthorn Brae to any of the others that you were in?
I got to go out. I got to go out and be with friends and be around people. That was about the only thing that was good, that I could get to go out. And if I ever wanted to go for a walk, I could go without coming and think about my thoughts without being people saying, like, judging me and speaking to me.
Yeah. Compared to Rosedean
and Kenan Lodge, compared to they two, yeah.
Would you say this was one of the worst ones?
Yeah. The last home, yeah. Yeah, because I got more punishments and, like, I was the ringleader all the time if something was happening. Because I'd laugh. I had a nervous, I always laughed. It was just the way I dealt with my feelings. They just say, yeah, it's definitely her that's done it. Me. But it was, I would get the blame for it.
Yeah. Okay. So after Hawthorn Brae,
yeah,
you were put into
stop over hostel. It's a hostel.
So was it called Stop Over?
Stop Over Hostel. Yeah.
Okay. So I want to kind of talk a little bit about that. So did Highland Council help you find that, or did you find that?
It was not Highland. That was Inverness.
That would be Edinburgh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the social worker department, Craig Muller's social work department got me there, that place.
And that was 1984, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. And this was a hostel, so it was kind of
just
like
a hostel. Yeah, it was just anybody. We were all adults, eh? I had nobody come to see me or trying to. I had a key worker there. Had no, like, nothing, and had, like, looking for a house. I ended up getting a house.
Yeah.
My first house. I fell pregnant in the hostel.
Okay.
Yeah, so I ended up getting a house.
Yeah.
And that was that. So.
How long were you in the hostel for? Can you remember?
No, I think about 6 months. 6 months.
Yeah.
Maybe
okay.
Less than 6 months. It might be less than 6 months. I just remember I was there. I didn't like the place. It was horrible. But I had to go there every night. If I didn't go in there, if I wasn't there at night time, I was going to lose my placement. I had nowhere else to go.
Okay. So I know that was a hostel, but did
yeah.
they have the amenities for, you know, your hygiene to get clothes?
No, I had to get all that myself. No, I had to get that myself.
Okay. And I know you said you had a key worker there. So how did they treat you?
She was fine. They were trying to get me a house. They tried to get me into another home, but I didn't want to go there. I can't remember where the place they were going to take me to. But this place was like, I didn't know even where the place was. I was just, it was all shock to me, because, like, I was that used to everybody doing everything for me.
Yeah.
And then I had to be independent. But I had nobody to go and answer questions or ask how to do things. So.
Yeah. No. Understandable. I'm just updating this now. So when you were in the hostel aftercare,
yeah,
did you have any experiences of things such as pain or injury, fear, shame, sleep problems, bedwetting, you know, behaviour?
Yeah, I did have a little bit. I did used to bedwet even on all the homes. Like, they knew that. They tried to get me help for that.
Okay.
But they said it was not to cause all the trauma that I was going through, that's why I was like that.
Okay.
It was funny when I left, didn't appear bad at all. When it stopped, eh?
And when you were in the hostel, is that when it kind of stopped?
Yeah.
Okay, so when you say you wet the bed, that was in all of the home?
Yeah, and the foster, yeah, that's why they didn't want me, because I was, yeah.
And what would happen in Hawthorne Bray when you wet the bed? Were they comforting? Would they help you fix it, clean it?
No, they were not. I had to go and get the sheet myself and change it all and things like that. Sometimes I would hide that, eh? And that, plus they would make me wash it as well. I'd have to go and wash my clothes and take my bed in and wash it myself.
And was that the same in Rosedean?
No. Rosedean, they would deal with it. They would have to have a night staff to come and can help me and change it and that. And even Kena Lodge did that as well. They'd have a night nurse that would come and help and change it for me. But Rosedean didn't. Hawthorne Bay is the last one. They made me do it all myself. I'd have to change it, go and wash it and all that, put it in the washing machine, and I was probably embarrassed because everybody got to see when I did it. Yeah.
And did the staff ever help comfort you when you felt embarrassed or?
No. No, they did say to me that I was a bit big to doing that. They would say to me, like, you're getting a bit big, you should be learning that you can go to the toilet and things like that. But at the time, I couldn't explain at the time how I was making them up like that. Yeah. But I think it was because I was just not getting told anything. I was just trying to bottle it all up.
Yeah. And did you have any problems with sleep?
Oh God, no. Obviously, there was somebody fighting and things like that. Yeah, I would be sitting wondering if the staff was trying to kind of calm down somebody and that. Like, we'd always get told to kind of get back in our room and things like that. Mm. So you'd be hearing somebody screaming or something like that. You'd have to just sit in your room and wait till it's all stopped. Nobody was like told what was happening. Eh?
Yeah. And was, obviously, I know you said in Hawthorne Bray, there was, you know, they would say you had an attitude and such.
Yeah.
Would you say that the behaviour change came from your time in that care home?
Yeah, yes, definitely, because obviously I was punished quite a lot.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. And I wasn't like, I was never violent to anybody. It's just, I would answer people back, and the staff just hated it when I answered them back. But there was one particular woman, and her name was Joan. She just didn't like me at all. And she would just argue with me for anything. And I'd argue back with her, but she would, like, I would be on every punishment gone when she was on. So I was trying to avoid it as much as possible because I knew I would always get punished with this lady. And her name was Joan, and I can always, this always sticks in my name, Joan. She would be the one that would be punishing me.
And was there anything else about Joan you can tell me?
She was quite old. She was an older lady, so she was quite, like she just didn't like me talking. If I even spoke, she used to tell me to shut up. She wouldn't tell me to shut up. She just said that I was not, that she didn't want to hear what I was got to say or anything like that. Even if I was trying to explain something good, she just would brush me off, eh? Completely brush me off. Like, I wasn't allowed to be happy or even show, like, if I was happy about anybody else getting something and things like that. It's like, they just singled me out, eh? I felt they singled me out in everything. And what was hard because every other kid went away at the weekends and I was the only child that was there, eh? So it was quite hard, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And was there any other staff who you can remember and have anything you'd like for them to know about?
No.
Okay, I'll have popped all of that in. With regards to the hostel,
yeah,
what was different about that place compared to the care settings?
You get shown the room and that was it. You had a lot of keys to go into your room. That was it. If you wanted something, you had to go and get your own food, buy your own food and make your own food. And basically, you could go down the stairs and like there was like you didn't want to go to your room because you didn't know anybody and there would always be different people coming in every day. So some people would stay for a week, some people wouldn't stay for a week. Eh?
Yeah.
So it's quite hard to get to. I tried to learn not to get to know people because it was just it was quite hard.
Yeah.
I didn't want to get attached to anybody because everybody was taken away from me.
Did you feel safe?
No, never felt safe when I was there because it just like it was nowhere else. They never put me anywhere else. Eh? But they said it would be just temporary till they found me somewhere. But I ended up getting a house moved to the council and got a house. And it was a nudge and it was not very nice area, but it was my first house and I was just thought, well, I'm going to try and make my life better than what my life has been, eh? But I had nothing, I walked into nothing, I didn't get given anything. I had to wait to get money off the brew to get kind of stuff for the house, so I was sitting in the house with playboards.
Yeah. And what about the other care homes, did you ever feel safe in them?
The only time I really ever felt it was Rose Dean because I got to see my granny and my granny got to speak to me. So if there was something wrong, my granny would probably speak to the staff about it, eh? So I felt that was quite a good thing because, like, I got to know what was going down where my friends were and I never got to see anybody once I got put in there. I never got to see nobody, so... Now with dad's my granny, how my brothers were and things like that, because nobody would tell me what was going on. So like the only negotiation was to speak to my granny, because she was the only one that was allowed to come and see me. My mum was allowed, well she wasn't allowed. She would enter the home and she would be escorted out with the police and they'd try and grab me and put me in another room and things like that. I was never frightened of my mum. I was just like she was drunk and they just didn't want her around me.
Yeah. So I've noted everything that we've spoken about all the different placements.
Uh-huh.
So what I'm about to move on to now is kind of an overall. It is a lot more questions. Are you happy to continue?
Yeah. Yeah.
So across all of the different placements that you were in, who were the main people who were responsible for the like neglect and the emotional abuse that you went through?
My most in it, I would say Hawthornbury, because that's where my mental health deteriorated. I was just getting really aggressive, emotional. I wanted, like, I took an overdose and things like that. I just wanted to end my life from there.
Yeah. And that was, did you say, that was where Joan was?
That was at Hawthornbury. Hawthornbury was in Edinburgh.
Okay.
Dudley's done home, Hawthornbury Church of Scotland home. That was my worst home. I could say that it was because, like, the rules were completely, like you think, I felt like I was in a detention centre like that. Like, if I didn't say yes, or thank you, or if I didn't say I wasn't, if I said I didn't want to do something, my life was a living hell.
Were other children affected, or, you know, did you witness any abuse of other children or harm to anyone else?
No, I mean, I watched some kids getting taken away with the police and I never got to see them again, eh? I can always remember a boy called Tommy and he got taken away with the police in that home. He was like me, a wee bit of an argumentative child, eh? And we were the ringleaders in the home and I just remember the police taking him away and he was crying and I don't know why they took him away, eh?
Okay. So why do you believe that staff or the institution knew that what was happening? Like, why do you believe they let it, or like should have known?
Well, the thing is, when like they took me from Inverness to Edinburgh, now the social workers knew that my dad didn't want me, so they put me in an area that. They moved me to Inverness, where it was my hometown, to Edinburgh, and Edinburgh wasn't even, like, I had nobody, had no communication with anybody whatsoever. So I was, like, isolated from everybody, which was quite hard, eh? And when I asked for things, or, like, when my adopted dad was phoning them up, like, they quite enjoyed telling me that I wasn't allowed to speak to my brothers and things like that. And I felt that, what right does anybody do that to a person? They used to, they were sitting watching me cry and get myself really upset about it.
Yeah. And that was the people in Hawthorne Bray?
Yeah, Hawthorne Bray.
So this question, I'm gonna word it slightly differently. So I know when you spoke up about having to wash Robert, you said you didn't enjoy it, and you were kind of told you have no choice. Whenever did you feel ignored, or more that you were scared of a punishment?
Well, I felt like if I didn't do it, I wasn't getting pocket money, or I wasn't getting. But they always found a way to not give me my pocket money in the end anyway. But, like, I was just trying anything just to let them like me, and I thought, well, if I do this for them, they maybe like me and they'll give me a better day. But it didn't work out like that.
Were you moved, threatened, or disbelieved whenever you spoke up?
Yeah, they did. They moved me to Hawthorne. They put me to Howden Hall. They put me there, and I had to stay there a couple of times for the weekend because I was arguing with the staff. I was never violent to any of the staff, but they removed me. They says that they didn't want me there, but then I would go back. But if I would behave, and I would say sorry to the staff, I would say sorry to the staff even though I didn't do anything.
Yeah. And when you apologised, what happened?
Well, they would say, right, well, we'll give you the last chance. And, like, I would say, right, okay. Well, like, I just wanted a home, eh? I just wanted to, I had nowhere else to go, eh?
Yeah. Have you ever reported any of this, you know, to the police or to an inquiry, any professionals?
No. I was brought up like that, eh? I was just, like, I was in a home, eh? So I just thought that was normal. I'd seen with different homes, with different things, eh? So I never, like, I did take the social because I didn't like being there and things like that. And I wanted to go home to my granny and things like that. And my mum, and just kind of like, it just says it wasn't, that wasn't going to happen, eh?
Yeah. I'm just typing this up, sorry.
Yeah, fine.
Did you ever try and run away?
Yeah, I ran away in Rosedean Children's Home. I ran away with a lassie called Sharon Bruce. Her mum and my mum were best friends. Her mum was an alcoholic as well. We ran away because we wanted to go and see her family.
And what happened?
The police just took us right back. In fact, they took us to the station, and then unknown to me, my mum was in the station at the time, locked up, and so was Sharon's mum, and then they took us back to the home.
Okay. And were you ever, you know, comforted for the fact of what you were running away for?
Well, the police would say, you know what it'd be like, your mum's going to end up in the jail and things like that. They did try and frighten me and say, like, you're going to end up in jail and, like, look at your mum. They put me, when they showed me my mum was behind a bars, eh? I don't know what my mum had done, but she was obviously a blood related drunk.
Yeah.
And, but the police were trying to frighten me and my friend Sharon at the time, she's dead now, eh? And basically, like, they're trying to frighten us, they're saying, like, this is what's going to happen to you, you're not going to get out, and this is what they're doing. It's just, like, I can understand why they were trying to scare us. They were trying to get us to behave and go back to the home, eh?
Yeah. So, how old were you when you left care? You were 16.
16.
And was it a sudden leave, or were you just kind of, did you get
They
like
asked
that
me to leave,
notice?
Dad. They wanted me out, so they put me in the stop over.
And was that after
They
turning?
say, in fact, they accused me of stealing. They tried to say I was stole off the blind boy. They tried to say I stole his Christmas money, and I didn't. But they said I did, and ended up moving in the stopover. But it was just they were just looking for anything, and because they got the police to get me to show, and I was like, I can't show you, but I didn't know what I'm looking for, eh?
So they got the police to search.
Yeah, they got the police to take me out to see if it shows where you put it. Like, and I says, I've not put that, and they were like screaming. I can remember the police screaming, and I was arguing back with them and saying, look, like, you're not going to find anything because I've not got nothing. And then the next thing that I was like, social workers came and took me to stopover.
And what were your circumstances after care, for example? Were you able to get back in contact with your family?
No, I didn't know where my mum was. I had no contact with my mum, so I didn't know where my mum was. And my granny died. She died a couple of years after I got out of care.
I'm so sorry. Okay, so I'm going to ask you some questions about the impact that this has had on you. It can be a bit difficult, but like I said, if you need a break, you just let me know.
Yeah, that's fine.
How did your experience in care affect you at the time for things such as safety, trust, confidence, sleep, behaviour, education, relationships, or the ability to speak up?
Well, education, I wasn't very good at education because I'd been moved about that much to different schools, so I never got to learn properly at all. So that affected me in lots of ways. I couldn't like get a proper job because I didn't have a proper education. Because I was moved to pillar to post. Trust, I was let down by everybody, so I couldn't trust anybody at all. I was a people pleaser. I pleased everybody just to get what, just to be accepted by people. Still am that person.
And has it ever affected any relationships? It can be friendships, you know.
Oh, it has affected me in lots of ways. Like we like I've picked like wrong relationships. I've picked like abusive relationships. I've always went for like the like how can you say somebody's had emotional problems. Like somebody I could feel comfortable to be around.
And what about, have you got children?
I've got four children,
You've got four. So how have you found, has this had any effect? And this is by no means supposed to sound, it can sound offensive,
Yes, it's
but
affected me in lots of ways
yeah.
because I've never been like my kids. I've only seen me get. I get very depressed about like my childhood. So they have to sit and watch me cry quite a lot.
What about any friendships or, intimacy?
Friendship. I kind of like to be truthful. Like if somebody says to me goodbye, I'm used to it. I'm used to a bandership. I'm not used to people staying around. So I've accepted not to be. I've no. I'm used to people abandon me. I feel like I'm on like. I can't expect anything good in my life. I don't feel that I'm entitled to anything good in my life.
And has it affected your physical health, sleep, pain?
Oh God,
any...
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got everything. I've got anxiety. I'm on a lot of medication. I get Proanil for my anxiety because I kind of go out. I'm not used to being in. I feel safer in the house than outside sometimes. I think it's just got a lot to do with not being out a lot.
Yeah.
I feel sleeping. I have problems. I have nightmares. I have a lot of nightmares about lots of things through my childhood. To wake up and experience a lot of things that has happened in different places. So it does affect me a lot. So I do get a lot of medication for my anxiety, my depression, and my diabetic. I've got very bad high blood pressure. I'm on double dose for high blood pressure, but that's a lot to do with I take panic attacks and things like that.
Okay. Have you ever turned to alcohol or substance use to cope?
No. Never took drugs. I've never taken. The only time I ever took a drug is from the doctor. I won't take alcohol because I've sat and watched my mum being an alcoholic, and I always will never be like that in front of my children.
Okay, no problem. And are you on medication for the depression?
Yeah.
And what medication is that?
I'm on a... I'm actually on, they've had to take me off the... I'm not very good on the names. You'd have to actually get it off the doctor, because I'm on lots of different medication for things for my health.
Mm-hmm. That's okay if you can't remember. We have,
Tramadol. It used to be Tramadol. They had me on but because I'm on all lots of different... I'm on a dehydrocodone. I was taking morphine because I'd done my back and my arm. So they had to take me off certain tablets to go with the other tablets. And because my blood pressure was sky high, I was getting problems with my heart. I ended up in hospital and they were saying there was lots of problems with my head.
Okay, no problem. Has it affected your work, your confidence, any,
Definitely not. I've never worked. I haven't had a job. I've never had a job. The job is looking after my kids.
And what about, housing or day-to-day stability?
And I've had to learn it myself. I've had to learn to drink myself.
Is there anything that triggers, any anxiety or depression to do with childcare? Your time in care, things like places, smell?
Social workers trigger me. Social workers, I panic when they're around me. Absolutely panic attacks when they're around me. I have to always make sure there's somebody around me with me to talk to them. Because I've got my daughter's Down syndrome. And, I just feel I don't trust anybody, so I always make sure I've got my daughter's respite carers.
Okay.
They come with me and things like that, because I just think I know they lie quite a lot.
Yeah. And is that the only kind of thing that would cause a trigger? Just the social workers, or is there any
social workers?
We always ask if there's any smells or any specific places or situations.
No.
And what impact would you say this has had on your life overall? What do you think might have been different if you hadn't have been in care?
I lost my confidence. I lost the ability to trust anybody. When people say something, I have to question it about 50 times in my head. Even if it's in front of me, I still believe that there's an issue behind it. And there might not be an issue behind it, but I still think, well, why have they been kind to me and things like that? So it does affect me in lots of ways. Learning to trust people that don't know anything about my background. I don't like telling people I was in the care. I don't like to tell people I was adopted. When people talk about my parents, I can't talk about anything because I didn't have that childhood, so it affects me. In terms, other people are talking about their family that I've never had.
Okay, and what do you think, you know, it would have been like if you hadn't have gone into care, if that hadn't have happened? What do you think would be different?
I think I would have still had a happy life at my granny's. My granny was old-fashioned. I would have been around my mum. I would have been around. I mean, I've never known my cousin. I couldn't even tell you. I've not seen a cousin or anything like that for over, like, since I left Inverness. I don't know my cousins. I don't know where my aunties live. I don't know where anybody was. And it's like, I have tried to go with my partner to try and find them. I've never been able to find any of them. So, like, it's just a complete, the dead end.
And what about your brothers? Were you able to get back in contact with them?
My brothers went into the army. They're married now, my two brothers. I still speak to my brothers, but we've not got that closeness because they were with my dad and I was with my dad. No, my adopted dad. I called him dad, but he was my adopted dad.
Yeah. Okay. Have you received any counselling, therapy, you know, mental health support?
No, but the doctors have said that they think I need it.
And have your GP supported you in any way?
They just give me a leaflet to contact people, but you know when you're going through a lot.
Yeah.
I know that I'm going to have to talk about really deep things,
Yeah.
And it's quite a disturbing thing to talk to a new person, like, because it's like you're going to have to reopen a lot of wounds that you don't want to open.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I really appreciate you, you know, opening up with myself and talking to me about it, because it's a huge step, it really is such a difference. I know you said you were diagnosed with anxiety and depression.
Yeah, I've got diabetes. I've got problems with my diet, diabetes, and blood pressure. That's it. Sorry, and I've got problems with my arm. I'm going through physio now, but they're saying they think it's got a lot to do with trauma in my body, the pains that are in my body now. So I'm being put to a physio. I just went for my first physio last week, but they say that they think it's all in my head, all these pains that I'm getting in my body.
And they're saying they think it's like trauma related.
Trauma related. So I've got another appointment on, I think it's the 4th of August.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's going to put me to this person that's going to be dealing with that. She says it's all what to do with the trauma, but she just says it thinks it's a lot to do with my back turned.
Okay. So we have an option of what we call a support and statement.
Uh-huh.
So is there anyone such as a sibling, a relative, a friend, a partner who you would wish to give a support and statement? No.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's absolutely fine. Have you previously made any civil claim, criminal injuries claim?
No.
Nothing? No.
Nothing. Never.
Okay. Have you received any payment, apology, settlement, or decision?
No.
Nope.
No.
Okay. 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 So now I'm going to ask this question to you, and people always find this one a bit tricky. Why are you applying to the redress scheme, and what would you like to come from telling your story?
I want them to educate the social work department to understand that no matter if you're taking a child away from their family, that's still their family, even if they're good or bad. A child doesn't understand that. They can only see the good in their family. They can't see the bad side. And keeping things from them, personal things, like letters or trying to like get in contact, that's like, to me it was like a death to me, because I was isolated, very isolated.
Okay.
I was a person, I wasn't a robot. I feel that they felt that I had no feelings. It was just an ID number to them. I feel like I was just an ID number to them. It was just a number, not a person.
I can understand why you would feel that way. It's awful.
Yeah.
What would acknowledgement mean to you? What would the acknowledgement...
I would like to know that I was a person and I want them to experience the pain that I went through. I've lost memories. I've not got memories. I've not got any memories with my family whatsoever. I've got a blank space that I can't talk about to my own kids.
And what would an apology mean to you?
I don't know. I don't even know if I could accept an apology now because they've done so much to me. I mean, I just feel that they've done too much to justify what they've done to me. They took my life and I feel like I've never had a life.
Is there anything else that you would like Redress Scotland to understand about what happened and the abuse that you went through?
No, it's fine.
Okay. So that is all of the questions that Redress would ask. And that is, you know, all of the information I've written everything down.
Yeah.
Is there anything important that we haven't covered that you would like?
No.
Okay.
No, I think so.
Is there any wording that you want handled carefully?
No. Everything's been written down and everything's in evidence, the court papers and things like that. When they put me to my adopted dad, it's all on paper. Everything's... Like they didn't do any backup to see if I was safe or anything like that, which I clearly wasn't safe, because I ended up in an assessment centre right after that.
Yeah.
And so like I'm annoyed at the fact that they didn't even check up to see how I was. Like they forced me to go somewhere that clearly didn't want me.
Yeah.
So that affected me with him. I couldn't like trust him ever again because, for one, he phoned the home to tell the home they didn't want me to walk up the road and speak to my brothers. I couldn't get that connection with the believed dad that I thought was my dad.
Yeah. Completely. How are you feeling after discussing all of this? You know, do you...
Let's hope I don't lose, but I'll go for that. I'm used to that.
Are you sure you're okay?
Yeah, fine. I've got my partner here and I've got my kids.
I'm glad you have someone to lean on.
Yeah, I've got a better life, a happier life now.
I'm really glad. You deserve it after everything.
Yeah.
Do you feel safe with us ending the call now?
Yes.
And is there someone you can contact for support?
Yeah, as I said, I've got my partner here, so he knows everything about my childhood. So it's nothing. I've not got any secrets here.
And are you sure you wouldn't want your partner to do a supporting statement about the impact they've seen on your life?
Would you do a statement for me?
Yeah.
Well, he's here right now. If you want, he's sitting right next to me.
Can't do the statement now, but what I'll do is, I tell you what, can I take his full name?
His name's Kevin Spendorf.
And his telephone number?
His telephone number I'll need to get his number for you. He's just going to get it for you.
No, that's okay. Don't worry.
Do
you live together?
Yeah. Well, he's got his own house, but he does live with me. He lives with me, yeah.
Okay. How long have you been together?
We've been with each other like nearly 13 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yes.
I'm glad you've got
him. Yeah, he's actually on your system as well. You deal with Kevin Spencer. He was in the at home as well, so that's how me and him get on with so well, because we're in so much common. We've got in common.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm glad you found someone who you can be open with. Cause
there's nothing to be ashamed of.
There's never anything.
But when you've been in the care system, you are ashamed to talk about it. But if you've got somebody that's been in that same situation as you, it makes you feel a wee bit easier, because then you're not having to justify the things that has happened in your life, because they understand how it's processed in the care system,
Absolutely.
What's your number?
0790 848. Okay, what I'm gonna do is then, let me have a look at my calendar. Would he be free on Tuesday afternoon to do a support and statement?
Will you be free on Tuesday afternoon to do a statement from the lawyers?
Yes,
he's here.
Okay, what I'll do is I'll ring him Tuesday afternoon and I'll do the support and statement then with him.
Okay.
I'm now going to obviously just give you an update on the next steps. So after this phone call, I'm going to type, because I've written everything as notes, and I'm going to type this into a full statement.
Yes.
It'll be sent to you before it gets sent anywhere else, and the only people who can see it are myself, my team, and Redress, and yourself.
Yeah.
It doesn't get published anywhere, just to Redress.
Yeah.
It will be sent to you before we send it off to be signed, that you're happy that everything is truthful.
Yeah, I'm happy.
With Kevin, it'll be his support and statement added on.
Yeah.
And there is a identification verification that takes place every Thursday with one of the solicitors who will... it's just a video call where you hold up your passport or your driving license, and she just confirms that it is yourself. Okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, that's perfect. How are you feeling now? Are you happy?
Fine.
How are that
yeah,
went?
Yeah, fine. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'm fine.
And if you need any support in the future, you can reach out to us if you need anything. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, and thank you for
thank
being
you.
So brave
Bye.
And opening
right.
up.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Take
Thanks
care.
A lot.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.